superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
The question is, how's it going to go?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're kind of like the number one overall pick.
The Cincinnati Bengals select.
Rich Eisen, Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo.
I'm into it.
I don't know about that.
The Rich Eisen Show. And now, sitting in for Rich, here's Dan Schwartzman.
What an honor to be sitting in for Rich Eisen here on the Rich Eisen Show. So much to get into here on a Monday. Hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas weekend. I'm a Jew, so it didn't really matter to me. Didn't even enjoy the Chinese food as I am culturally supposed to have. I'll get into that a bit later. But if you were nice, I'm sure you got great gifts. If you're naughty, who knows what Santa decided to bring to you. But what I do tend to find out, guys, is that we give good gifts. Rarely do we get good gifts. And getting gifts year to year is getting more and more difficult in terms of what the heck do you buy people? Isn't that like the biggest thought you have today? It's not like, what do you want for dinner? What are you having for lunch? It's usually, what am I going to buy them as a gift? My wife is a real big gift giver, right? Like, she puts a lot of thought into stuff. And I don't. Full disclosure, I do not. You just want a Raiders win, Art. I know that. You're a very simple person. You want a Mustang and a Raiders win, and you are good to go, and a night at the pool. That's all you care about. But I guess I'm more in that category. I'm just a terrible gift giver. I am awful at deciding what to get people. So I leave it up to the wife. So thankfully, as a Jew, I didn't have to make those decisions too much over the Christmas holidays. But I'll tell you what I did do. I watch a lot of football. That's because I was ill this weekend. No, it wasn't COVID. And it's funny these days that if you are sick with anything, the first thing you have to tell people is, no, it's not COVID. I'm okay. Don't worry. Because everybody assumes whatever you have, it's COVID. It's not. My parents are like, oh my goodness, are you getting tested? I'm like, no, I don't have to. It's not COVID. It's a stomach thing. You sure? I'm like, I'm positive. Trust me, I'm okay. So that's kind of become the big thing these days is whenever you have any sort of ailment, the first thing you have to tell people is, no, I'm not contagious. It's not COVID. Do not worry. First, I'm not inviting you over anyway because I don't want you coming over. So good news is I am okay. Just a weekend type of bug that hit the entire family. But I'm happy to be here on a Monday in for Rich, coming off a week 16 Sunday of the NFL season. We also had Saturday games, by the way, and a pretty good Monday night matchup tonight. We'll get into that a bit later on. But the big question I have coming out of yesterday's games has to do with what we saw last night. The Dallas Cowboys absolutely dominated, with a capital D, the Washington football team. 56-14, and frankly, probably could have been worse. And I'm watching this Dallas team, and I've always thought to myself, there's a lot of talent. They should be better than they usually are. But they're pretty darn good right now. They're winning games. There is talent at most skill positions. They are a damn good team. And when we think about the class of the NFC, obviously Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, congratulations to them. They won their division yesterday, but that's the cream of the crop. They're coming off winning a Super Bowl, and they're the greatest quarterback in the history of football on their roster, still slinging it at an unbelievable rate at the age of 70, right? He's 70, and he looks better than me, and I'm 43. Art, you're like 72, and he looks better than you as well. Art Martinez, of course, running the board today, running the
Thanks
show.
Thanks a lot.
I know, my friend. We've worked many years in the past. But the reality is, Tampa Bay is always put up there because Tom Brady's there, and as defending reigning Super Bowl champions that returned every starter, don't forget, they deserve to be thought of as the creme de la creme. The Green Bay Packers, they are a shoe-in with like 12 wins every year under Matt LaFleur. They win the division every year under Matt LaFleur. They have Aaron Rodgers. And look, you can make this argument. This is one that I've always enjoyed having. I guess it's like the LeBron versus Michael argument. Michael has the rings. LeBron has the pure talent. Tom Brady's got the rings. No one's going to doubt the greatness of Tom Brady and if he's the GOAT because he's got the most rings. But if you were building a quarterback, right? If you were putting together that cyborg quarterback, wouldn't Aaron Rodgers be the guy more than Tom Brady? Aaron Rodgers does not turn the ball over whatsoever. Yes, 445 career touchdown passes, which is a Green Bay Packers franchise record, is an incredible statistic, considering he sat the first 3 years behind Brett Favre. If he had played those years, now, would he be as good? I don't know. Maybe. But you average like 20, 25 touchdowns a year, he'd be over 500 right now. But whatever. Okay? What's more impressive than 445 touchdown passes to his name, and counting, by the way, it's not like he's aging, right? He's still playing at an incredibly high level at, what, 36, 37 years old, is that he's thrown 93 career interceptions. Think about that ratio. 445 touchdowns to 93 interceptions. That, to me, is the most incredible statistic. There's an argument to be made whether Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time in terms of just quarterback ability, more so than Tom Brady. Brady's the greatest because he puts it all together and wins the championships. Aaron Rodgers doesn't really win the championships. He's won one. He's got to win multiple. But he only has one right now. But in terms of just playing the quarterback position, maybe he is the greatest. That argument can be made. So as long as you have Aaron Rodgers, the Green Bay Packers will always be put in that upper echelon as well. When they have other weapons, Devontae Adams, the defense is playing well, blah, 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 they are up there with the Buccaneers, again, creme de la creme of that NFC. The Rams, to me, have a ton of talent. On paper, maybe more talent than anybody. And I do like Matt Stafford. I've been wrong about Matt Stafford. I was never the biggest Matt Stafford fan. And while there are instances where he'll throw three picks like he did yesterday, this team is capable of kind of getting past that the way the Lions were not. And he seems to be more motivated, and he's playing at obviously a higher level now. And I think he's enjoying playing football more because he's actually playing for a purpose and not being eliminated from playoff contention in like October, the way that usually in Detroit was the case. So the Rams, to me, are a dangerous team as well. But is it fair to put that Dallas Cowboys team now right there as well and make it the fearsome foursome? Yes, absolutely. Why not? Where's the massive hole that you say this team cannot overcome that to win a Super Bowl, to get out of the NFC, to play the best of the AFC, be it the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, whoever it might be? Dak Prescott, back to playing at a high level, was phenomenal Sunday night. Amazing. Didn't even play three quarters. 330 yards, four touchdowns. Could have been even more damage. They have a premier running back in Ezekiel Elliott, right? As good as anybody. No question about that. They are.
The only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Darn right, how about them Cowboys? And I'm not a Cowboy fan, but I am a realist. You got weapons at the skill positions at wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. Pretty fearsome duo. Dalton Schultz, underrated pass-catching tight end. He's going to end up with over 800 yards receiving this year. Defensively, what an element Micah Parsons, the rookie out of Penn State, 12th overall pick, has added. He's a sack and a half away from breaking or tying Javon Kearse for the most sacks by a rookie in a season. He's got 13 right now. He's going to be the NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year. He's going to win it. He should win it. In that secondary, Trayvon Diggs, 11 interceptions. 2 return for a touchdown. Been phenomenal. There is lots of talent on that defense. Randy Gregory, he's got that off-field history, but on the field, he's a pretty good player. And they've done this, by the way, with DeMarcus Lawrence being banged up pretty much all year. He's only played 5 games. He's only contributed 2 sacks. So sure, the Dallas Cowboys are going to be in that conversation, as well they should. But here's the problem I have. When push comes to shove and we're in January, and if the NFC goes through Lambeau, and right now, as long as the Packers win their last 2 games, they will have home field advantage throughout the NFC portion of the postseason. Can the Cowboys go to the frozen tundras of Lambeau Field when it's minus degree weather and win when they're playing in that comfortable AT&T stadium with climate control? Well, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if I'd put money on that, because I have to see it to believe it. Tampa Bay did it last year, right? And that was impressive. But Tom Brady's a guy that played in a cold weather environment in the Boston area for many, many years. So he's accustomed to it. Dak Prescott, well, yeah, he's played games in New York, Philly, and Washington when it's cold, and then NFC East, sure. And he's had success. The guy has dominated the NFC East. He has literally dominated the NFC East. He's like 24-9 against the East. He owns the NFC East. But he did play college ball at Mississippi State, warm weather environment, plays for the Cowboys again, nice climate-controlled environment. The pressure-packed NFC Championship game, if that's when that meeting would be, frozen tundra of Lambeau Field, all the marbles on the line to get to a Super Bowl, am I putting my eggs in the basket of Dak Prescott, or am I doing so on the guy that, to me, is the perfect specimen when you want to build a quarterback, and his name is Aaron Rodgers? So yes, the Cowboys right now are in that fearsome foursome. Rams, Cowboys, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Green Bay Packers, absolutely. All four of those teams belong there. But when you have to differentiate and you think about circumstances, and the playoffs are a circumstance, and weather is a circumstance, certainly the advantage still has to go to the Green Bay Packers, Lambeau Field, the fan base, the weather, and Aaron Rodgers. A lot riding on it, but right now, impressive performance, no question about it, by the Dallas Cowboys in that unbelievable win over the Washington football team. Got a lot to get into. Are they legitimately a Super Bowl contender? Is Micah Parsons the next? Is he the next? Because this is a discussion we have to have. Lawrence Taylor, as people talk about. And how are the Cleveland Browns in terms of quarterback? These are questions I can't wait to answer during the show today. We'll get your input as well, 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. We'll talk to Jason Cole coming up here in a bit. But I do want to get into this Micah Parsons question, and here's why. During the broadcast on Sunday Night Football on NBC, we had Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth talking about Micah Parsons, the impact he has made, how good a player he is. Art Martinez, I got to throw it to you real quick. You watched that game. You've watched the game.
Did the radio broadcast right here for Westwood One.
He's amazing, right? I mean, Micah Parsons has been a phenomenal rookie, right?
Absolutely.
Let's get that out of the way. Okay. Here's the problem I have with how people are kind of rating him. And I hate when people have to compare a player to another player in a different generation. And I'm going to be unfair to the older generation of football here, right? I'm not going to go pre-1980 with this, because it's a different generation of football. But people are comparing Micah Parsons to Lawrence Taylor. It's so wholly unfair, it's flat out ridiculous. Micah Parsons is having a tremendous rookie year. I'm not denying that. He is a difference maker. He is a freak of nature. Okay, he is a rangy, lanky, powerful, explosive defensive end slash linebacker slash whatever the heck position the guy wants to play, because he is an athletic freak, the way that Javon Kearse was an athletic freak. But is he revolutionizing a position the way that Lawrence Taylor legitimately revolutionized the outside linebacker position? Are offensive coordinators literally sitting there all week long, game planning against one guy?
I think they better. I think he is impacting the game. Absolutely.
He is. No, he's impacting the game. There's no question about it. And there's a reason why the Cowboys have been successful on the defensive side of the football, and it starts with him more than
anybody
else.
And the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Yeah! How about them Cowboys? But Lawrence Taylor was different. Lawrence Taylor brought an element to this field that had never been seen before. Lawrence Taylor kept offensive coordinators up all night trying to figure out, how do you stop this guy? How do you block this guy? Who do you use to block this guy? Can we double, triple team him? It didn't work. I mean, it was a nightmare facing Lawrence Taylor. The only player to ever win NFL Defensive Rookie of the Year and NFL Defensive Player of the Year in the same year. And rightfully so. Number 56 on the Giants was an absolute beast. You could potentially make the argument that in the last 40 years, he's the greatest defensive player. Now, Reggie White may have something to say about that, but Lawrence Taylor certainly is in that argument and potentially wins that argument. So I don't know if we should sit here with Micah Parsons and put him in the same category as Lawrence Taylor right now. It's not fair to Micah Parsons. He handled it well when it was brought up. They showed that clip of him saying, listen, he had 142 sacks. I got 131 more to go. And that was before, obviously, yesterday he had another sack. He's got, what, 13 now or whatever. But I have a ways to go. And he's absolutely correct. You got a way to go before you're going to be Lawrence Taylor. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show. Catch us on Audacity app and, of course, audacity.com. I just feel that we are kind of being unfair to Micah Parsons, putting higher expectations than need be on the poor young man.
If I was a Cowboy fan, which I'm not,
yeah,
I'm a Raider, diehard Raider. But, yeah, absolutely I would be hyping this guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, but look, there's hyping a player, and then there's overhyping a player. When Javon Kearse was in the NFL out of Florida, he had the nickname The Freak, right? Why? Because he was a freakish athlete. Were we comparing him at the time, 14 and a half sacks in 16 games, to Lawrence Taylor? I don't remember that, and it wouldn't be fair to do so. So why now with Micah Parsons are we comparing him to Lawrence Taylor? Lawrence Taylor is Lawrence Taylor. The man again revolutionized a position. Micah Parsons is really, really good, and he is dangerous. But is he revolutionizing a position? Now, again, the argument can be made, can you still revolutionize a position in the NFL? Okay, that's legit. But I just think it's wholly unfair to be putting those types of expectations on anybody. I mean, come on.
I want to throw one more curveball at you.
Okay, go ahead.
If Lawrence Taylor played in today's game, mm-hmm. I don't think he would be that successful.
I'll tell you why you're wrong, Art. He was explosive off the line of scrimmage, right?
The guys are bigger now, bigger and stronger.
But it doesn't matter. Here's why. Let me tell you. Taylor was 6'3", 237. Micah Parsons is 6'3", 246. So, okay, you have 9 pounds there. But Taylor had speed off the edge, right? These offensive linemen, Taylor, actually are bigger. But bigger doesn't always mean faster and more agile. Yeah, these guys are freaks in terms of offensive tackles. When Mekhi Becton's running a 5'01", 5'01", 40 at 370 pounds, that's eye-popping. But the bottom line, though, is I just think that Lawrence Taylor wasn't some scrawny guy who was making do with 280-pound offensive tackles. He was a big guy that was getting it done. We're going to find out, though. Jason Cole. Guy's written for everybody. He's written 7 books. Mr. NFL, in my opinion, my good friend. We'll ask him. Micah Parsons compared to Lawrence Taylor. Fair or not? Are the Cowboys in that fearsome foursome? And do the Cleveland Browns need a quarterback change? I'm Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show right here on a Monday.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung. And that means spring cleaning. Or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Down a goal from the 10-yard line. Going to need to get somebody open. Takes it straight back. Looks to the left, going to float one over the top. Grabbed in the corner of the end zone. Jackpot, baby! Hunter Renfrow makes a fine play as they fade it into the left corner of the end zone. And the Raiders and Derek Carr strike first.
That is Brent Musburger, courtesy of Compass Media. And with that Raider win over the Denver Broncos, that actually catapulted the Dallas Cowboys into winning the NFC East. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show on a Monday. Catch us on the Audacity app and Audacity, Odyssey app and Odyssey.com. Get on with me at 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. Hit us up on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show. If it's good, we will read it out loud. But the Cowboys, congratulations, winning the division. I saw something interesting today that over the last, I think, 17 years, there hasn't been a repeat divisional winner in the NFC East. Two straight seasons in a row has not happened. A lot to get into coming off of Week 16, Saturday and Sunday of the NFL season. Our good friend Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, currently writing a column for FanBuzz.com. And writing, Jason, what, your eighth book, is it now?
Yes. I'm trying to keep track of my own head.
How do you have time?
I don't sleep a lot.
First off, Jason, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you and the family. Man, I'll tell you, Jason. Thank you. Was Santa nice to you guys?
Santa was great. So Santa's always good. Especially when, you know, you've got a little football in the background and you got family and food and all sorts of stuff going on. It's a good deal.
Agreed 100%. Let's get right into this. You know, I started the show off talking about the Cowboys. Jason, impressive win yesterday over Washington. And do you put them right up there in terms of abilities and how scary they are with what I kind of consider the cream of that NFC, which is Packers, Tampa Bay, and the Rams? Are they in that group in your mind?
They might be there with the Rams. I don't trust the Cowboys yet because at the end of the day, they're still the Cowboys. And until they get over... Look, this could be called psychological mumbo jumbo, okay, or pop psychology, but I'm of the firm belief that the Cowboys under Jerry Jones are an organization that as soon as they start to have some semblance of prosperity, there is this belief that they've actually arrived.
Right.
If that makes sense. Like, okay, we're right there. We're about to win the Super Bowl. Instead of, okay, we've taken this step. Now we have to finish. Like, there's more we have to do. And so I don't trust them. I never have over the last 25, 30 years. You know, not since Jimmy left. You know, I know they had the 1 year under Barry Switzer, but that was really Jimmy's team. And that it was Jimmy's mentality was still there. So I think Jerry's mentality is to celebrate before you've actually gotten there. And that seeps down through the team. Now, I think McCarthy may be a little bit more level-headed, but you got to prove it to me. After this many years, even through the Parcells years,
yeah,
you got to show me, you got to prove me.
Do you think also that if we know the NFC most likely will run through Lambeau Field on in a January, which is no fun and it's very cold, as we know, do you trust Dak Prescott? Now, McCarthy obviously knows it well. He won a Super Bowl as a head coach of the Packers. Do you trust that team coming from a warm weather environment in a climate-controlled stadium as AT&T is to go into Lambeau Field in, say, an NFC Championship game and pull out a win, regardless of the fact that Dak has won in New York, Washington, and Philly in cold December games?
No.
Not at all, huh?
I don't either. I'm just going to cut straight to the chase. I mean, look, I just don't trust them in any way, shape, or form. I just don't believe in them until they do it. And they're talented, don't get me wrong. And I think they've made a really quick and amazing conversion from being this run-based Ezekiel Elliott team. Not that they still don't use Zeke, right? But Zeke was the centerpiece of this power running game that was supposed to set up the passing game. Now, the passing game sets up what they're trying to do with the running game. They've made that conversion. And part of that is Zeke's not as effective as he used to be. He's a little longer in the tooth. He's been banged up this year, so he's Pollard. And, you know, they have Lamb, who's obviously terrific. You got Cooper. You got some other receivers. Schultz has developed, you know, from a relatively unknown tight end into a guy who can have an impact, you know, on and on and on, right?
Yeah.
But there is just something different about going into Green Bay and winning. And I know Tom Brady did it, but Tom Brady played in New England all those years. And the Packers screwed that game up with a couple of terrible coaching decisions, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The only other team that I've seen go in there was the Giants in, you know, Brett Favre's last game in that, you know, amazing playoff victory. You know, but there was a certain, you know, they were from New York and they had a certain toughness to them and they had a tough running game and Tom Coughlin coaching them. So until the Cowboys do it, I don't believe that they will.
Talking NFL.
They have the talent, but I don't.
Yeah. Talking NFL with our buddy Jason Cole here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Monday. Micah Parsons has been flat out phenomenal. He'll get all the accolades he deserves. But, you know, these whispers of him being the next Lawrence Taylor, I don't think it's fair. I think Taylor is the best defensive player of the last 40 years, Jason. Is it flat out ridiculous in your mind that that's the comparison that's being made?
It's laughable.
Isn't it? I agree.
I mean, like, just people forget. And here's the problem. Lawrence Taylor, unfortunately, probably only got about 80% out of himself. Because of the drugs and the, you know, all the other things that would happen to him.
Right.
But if when you talk to people about what was it like to be on the field with Lawrence Taylor, they don't talk about it in terms of, oh, it was strategically tough and he was over, you know, he's so quick and this, and, you know, all these things that Micah Parsons can do, right?
Yeah.
Which are fantastic. Micah Parsons is a wonderful player. He's, you know, he's, he is the straw that stirs the drink for this defense. It's playing so fast under Dan Quinn, you know, along with, you know, Diggs playing so well. All these things that are going on, they're going right for the Cowboys, which is to celebrate. But Lawrence Taylor caused fear. Lawrence Taylor was a creature from another planet who came in and just tore human beings to shreds. Literally, like Joe Theismann's career ended, you know, and it's a terrible thing, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
And when you played the Giants, like it, somebody was going to get hurt. I mean, Joe Montana probably still has nightmares about that hit. And it wasn't Lawrence Taylor who hit him, but the fact that they were so worried about Lawrence Taylor, they didn't block the other guys.
Leonard Marshall. Yeah.
So, you know, it's just, when you watch them, it was a savage kind of game. Sort of like, you know, like the Bears were savage. And the Baltimore Ravens with their first championship team. Those are savage teams that cause fear. Yeah, you know, Micah Parsons is a problem, okay? And you got to account for him. You got to find him and all those other things. But it's not like you think he's going to hurt somebody, right?
Yeah.
It's just a difference. And Lawrence Taylor, and I know that sounds a little primitive, But the game was a whole lot more primitive then. And Lawrence Taylor was the face of that, you know, sort of primitive style of defense where defenses just controlled the game for, you know, probably 5 or 6 years.
Jason, I want to get to the Cleveland Browns and especially Baker Mayfield. 4 interceptions on Saturday, really costing his team an opportunity to knock off the Packers there. Should he be back next year as the face of the Cleveland Browns as their quarterback?
Well, I would say no. The problem is, and it goes back to the old question, okay, what are you going to do? You know, you let Baker Mayfield go, okay, now what's your answer? And that's where Cleveland runs into a problem because the draft is terrible. Free agency, okay, there's Deshaun Watson. He didn't want to play in Cleveland. You know, Aaron Rodgers should probably be available in trade. I don't think I think he wants to go west. Russell Wilson, you know, wants to be – they're going to have a divorce here coming up real soon. Does he want to be there? No. He wants to be in a bigger market like in New York, like, you know, Chicago, somewhere like that, which I don't think either one of those spots are going to be open either, but that's where he wants to be. So what are you going to do? And unless you have an answer for what you're going to do next, I think you have to stay with Baker Mayfield, even if that means franchising him for a year. And I'm really troubled by what I saw because one of two things is going on. Either this guy has not worked on the mechanics, his footwork, or he's scared now because he's gotten hit so much and he's hurt. But one of those two things is true, and either one of those makes for a terrible quarterback who is not stepping into throws, is not throwing on platform, is throwing balls up for grabs. And, you know, he can complain about not having, you know, big receivers or whatever he wants to, or not throwing passes he wants to throw to or anything else. But he's got some issues right now, and they take some serious fixing. And I don't know that it's all going to get done in one season. And I don't know that there's a lot of trust between him and the coach right now.
Pro Football Hall of Fame selector Jason Cole joining us on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich. But Kevin Stefanski's got to take a bullet here as well, right? Awful play calling. I mean, you're gashing the Packers defense, averaging 8.8 yards per carry. Nick Chubb is having his way like he's back at Georgia playing against some 1AA type team here. Why the heck did they not run the football more than 25 times? Shouldn't we be placing more blame on the play calling as well?
When your quarterback throws 4 interceptions, you don't get a lot more opportunity. Okay, Dan. I hate to bicker with you on this one, but when my quarterback throws 4 interceptions, it ties my hands. Now maybe,
but after 2, maybe stop throwing it as much.
Maybe, but yeah, I got to throw something. I got to throw some time. I mean, you know, okay, yeah, we can run one of those games like the Patriots did in Buffalo in the wind and all that kind. Yeah, okay, there are some odd circumstances like that, but you can't play in the NFL as if you're afraid of your quarterback. You really can't. It just doesn't work on a regular, especially when he's your starter, okay? Because everybody loses confidence, including him, right?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes – I'm not saying Baker Mayfield can't come back from this and that the Browns can't recover from this, but everybody, but especially Baker Mayfield, has to take a look at that film and say, wow, that's terrible. That's just – that's awful football. And unless – I change how I'm playing and I show that I'm willing to step up in the pocket and release, you know, the right way. Or when I roll out to the left-hand side, that my front foot is not pointing at the sideline when I try and throw a ball downfield. And, you know, I know this is technical stuff that people don't want to listen to a lot, but, you know, it's fundamental stuff. Unless he wants to fix that, you know, I'm not going to put any blame on Stefanski at that point in time. Yeah. You know, I can't, because the quarterback is you know, making it unplayable for me when he throws 4 interceptions.
Jason, I watched, being a Jet fan, the number 1 versus number 2 pick in the draft. Trevor, I know, it grazed my hair, but I've been, you know, through this for a lot of years. But, Jason, I watched number 1 Trevor Lawrence against number 2 Zach Wilson. Justin Fields did not play. He was banged up. Mac Jones had an atrocious game against Buffalo. Look, they're rookie quarterbacks, and they're expected to struggle. How much do you write off this year, or how much concern do you have with each of these guys going into year 2?
Depends on what the problem is. With Mac Jones, there's, you know, a lack of weapons, but also know what he is. He's a game manager. Okay. Right. He's not there yet, but I see overwhelmingly, I see positives. I also see a ceiling with Justin Fields. I don't see a ceiling, but I see a lot of, you know, like he's not trained at the finer art of being a quarterback, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, two games ago when he's, you know, they're called a screen pass, right? And, you know, you're letting the rush come after you. And then, oh, God, the guy's not open on the screen. Well, then throw it to his feet and live to play another down. But instead, you try and run away from the pass rush that you've already let chase you. Like, you can't do stuff like that in the NFL. It doesn't work, right? So he just hasn't learned that play. He'll learn that play, and they'll progress, and they'll get a better coach for him, and it'll be fine, right? So Fields has some things to work on. With Trevor Lawrence, there's some accuracy problems. And with Zach Wilson, like, yeah. There's so many things that scare me about him. And the one is, like, he plays in fear.
Yeah.
He looks small in the pocket. Like, this is a kid who's supposed to be, like, what, 6'2"? I mean, yeah. When you watch him, don't you get the feeling like he's 5'10"?
Yeah, he looks very thin. He looks very brittle out there. No question about it.
Right, and it's not even built. It's just he looks. It's like when I saw Heath Shuler when he was a rookie, and Heath Shuler he was 6'4", and he played like he was a 6-foot quarterback. And I'm like, what is it? And these were guys who were afraid. Like the stage was just too big for them. And you see that with Zach Wilson. He's taken an extraordinary number of sacks. He's thrown a high percentage of interceptions. And, yeah, he had some runs yesterday against a terrible team, which should have opened up the passing game. But what did he average, like 4.5 yards a pass?
Yeah, not much, yeah.
Right. And look, I know the running sometimes helps, and sometimes you get through a game with a guy having a bad number on yards per throw. But he's at, like, 6.2 for the entire season, and this was a continuation of the problem against a really awful Jacksonville team. And when you put that all together, man, I'm scared about Zach Wilson. Yeah. If I'm a Jets fan, it's like, oh, boy.
Glad you're not.
What did we just do? And I'm sorry.
Yeah, be glad you're not. It's all right. Jason Cole, Pro Football Hall of Fame selector, currently writing a column for FanBuzz.com, writing his 8th book. Looking forward to that. Jason, Happy New Year to you and the family. Always appreciate you hopping on.
Happy New Year. Thanks, Dan. Take care.
Thanks, Jason. Always fun talking to Jason Cole, breaking it down. I do want to get into the Baker Mayfield Cleveland situation. Do they have a choice, or do they have to bring him back? Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen. It is a Monday edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Michael Parsons is a wonderful player. He's, you know, he is the straw that stirs the drink for this defense. It's playing so fast under Dan Quinn, you know, along with, you know, Diggs playing so well. All these things that are going on, they're going right for the Cowboys, which is to celebrate. But Lawrence Taylor caused fear. What if Taylor was a creature from another planet?
Jason Cole joining us moments ago here on the Rich Eisen Show. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Monday. This week of R&R for many of you between Christmas and New Year's. I usually relax, but no, I actually have a lot to do. Make sure to catch us on the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com. If you want to hop on, give us your thoughts. Is Micah Parsons the next Lawrence Taylor? Are the Cowboys as good as the rest of that NFC upper echelon? Rams and maybe to a higher level, Packers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 844-204-RICH. That's 844-204-7424. Or hit us up on Twitter at Rich Eisen Show. Do you want to get into this Cleveland Browns? Yes, yes,
Dan, but before you move on to a different topic,
yeah,
the Raiders actually beat the Cowboys. So what does that mean?
How long ago was that?
That was on Thanksgiving, remember?
I don't remember that.
No?
No, it was a long time ago.
Oh.
And by the way, I didn't have much of a Thanksgiving, so I guess it wasn't memorable.
Jackpot, baby!
Oh, I love the Raider fans. Gotta love those Raider fans. But let's stay in that AFC, by the way, with those Raiders. The Raiders will be back. That music.
8-7.
Right? 8-7.
We got the Colts this week, and it's going to be a tough game, but I think we can win. And then we play the Chumpers. We play the Chumpers on the last game of the season.
It's Monday. You're already previewing the Colts Raiders game.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a mentality of a Raider fan. Game's over. Next day we start previewing the next. We don't care about family. We don't care about friends. We don't care about anything else. 1 week to the next, it is legitimately just the next day we talk about the next upcoming game.
Carson Wentz is going down. He's going down.
I got a neighbor, Art, that has a Raiders-themed three-wheeler and has a Raiders flag hanging on his porch and next to you and maybe rivaling you in terms of Raider fandom. It is unbelievable.
He lives right next to you?
Like right across the street. Good friend now.
We got to have him on.
He has a key to my place.
Got to have him on.
My place. I don't know if he could deal with a little radio. He might be a little nervous, you know?
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, you could have the brethren there. Maybe you guys can start like the cross-country, you being out on the West Coast, me being here on the East Coast, you guys can maybe...
Yeah, how does that happen? Is he from California or something?
No, he's one of those fraud Raider fans like so many out there, like Cowboy fans. A lot of fraud Cowboy fans out there, you know? I love the New York Cowboy fans. I'm like, how are you a Cowboy fan? Well, my dad, America's team, I'm like, you're a fraud. You don't even live there. But that's all right. That's a conversation for a whole nother day.
And the only thing I got to say is, how about them Cowboys? Yeah!
But Jason Cole made a good point that, like, when they taste some success there, they feel they've gotten there, right, under Jerry Jones. It's not as if they still think they have to build more. That's a great thought by Jason Cole there. Another great thought he brought up was Baker Mayfield and the fact that he really shouldn't be back as the Cleveland Browns quarterback because he's just not that good. But the fact is, who's really out there that potentially could be better? Russell Wilson ain't going to Cleveland, I hate to tell you. Not happening. He's got a brand, and his wife has a brand. His wife isn't just some beautiful, attractive, smart woman. She has a brand. She's a musician that has, you know, a following. I'm not sure Cleveland would make sense for Sierra, right? I don't think so. He wants, like, the New York Giants, although are they a better organization right now than the Seattle Seahawks? Isn't that, at best, a lateral move?
Ooh, wow, wow.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're both terrible. They're both not playing good football. One's got, like, 4 wins. One has 5 wins. Not exactly earth-shattering.
I have one for you.
Give me one.
How about the Washington football team?
You know, I thought about that. I just don't think they want the drama that's surrounding that team, sadly not because of the players. Although Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen had some drama yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. I think they're a quarterback away.
They are. There's some talent there. But, you know, with the whole Dan Snyder situation and, you know, the sexual harassment allegations and things like that, I just don't know if Russell Wilson wants to step into that. That's murky. That's questionable. He's 33, going on 34. I think he'll be 34 sometime during next season. I don't know if that's the situation he wants to walk into. I don't know if Chicago's going to be looking to add a quarterback when they invested in Justin Fields. Don't see that happening. I don't know if there's other you know, bigger markets that are looking for quarterbacks. Chargers don't need a quarterback. The Rams don't need a quarterback. You know, what's a big market? 49ers? But does he, you know, I don't think he would stay in that NFC West. I don't think Seattle would let him go to the NFC West. So count them out. They're that team that you could say is a quarterback away, right? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is pretty hideous. Good looking dude, though, by the way. Add that $130 million. Man, that guy is a catch. But bottom line, though, is, you know, he's not going to San Francisco. So where exactly would Russell Wilson land? Maybe he's got no choice but to go to Cleveland. Maybe the option is, you know, Seattle management comes and says, listen, Russell, we want to get you to someplace you want to go to. You've been great here. You are, you'll be a Seahawk forever. You're a Hall of Famer.
Is it for certain that, I mean, Seattle is not going to rebuild and not going to be competitive?
Yeah, but here's the problem, though. One, they don't draft well. Two, they don't actually have a first-round pick this year because of that idiotic Jamal Adams trade that my Jets actually won, which is going to be like a top seven pick. They don't have a first-round pick. They don't exactly have a ton of valuable assets that are going to bring you or net you high draft picks outside of Russell Wilson, right? Are you getting a first-round pick for Bobby Wagner right now? I don't know. He's still great, but he's getting up there in age, right? Who's getting you a first-round pick? So outside of Russell Wilson getting you a couple of first-round picks at least, who can you actually use as trade bait to start the rebuild process? And at 33, hitting 34 during next season, if you're Russell Wilson, say it's a three-year rebuild, and that's pretty quick, right? If it's a three-year rebuild, you're going to be 37 years old. You want to wait around that long? Probably not. So, and if you're Seattle, do you want to invest in the new contract that you're going to have to pay Russell Wilson a fortune? I don't know if they do. So I can't see him staying in Seattle. I don't know if he wants to stay in Seattle. At this point, I think is the grass greener on the other side for him. So I do see him leaving. I just don't know if there's an actual landing spot for him. That's the funny thing. He wants to go, and there's going to be teams interested in him, but it's not as if he'd be open to going to any team out there, right? I think the list of teams that he would want to go to would be very, very slender. And I'm not sure those teams would actually make that move for him. If you're the New York Giants, you do have two first-round picks this year, but you're rebuilding. You need to add talent to different positions. Do you want to give up two first-round picks plus some more for Russell Wilson at 33, going on 34, thinking that he's that final piece? I don't think Russell Wilson is the final piece. They also have serious cap problems with the Giants. I mean, they're capped out. They had to restructure contracts during this season to free up $850,000, for crying out loud. So I'm not sure the Giants make sense financially and also where they are as an organization right now. I just don't see it. So to be perfectly honest, I think Baker Mayfield stays in Cleveland by default. Where else would he go? What direction would Cleveland go in at quarterback? This isn't a quarterback-rich draft the way that we envisioned last year's quarterback class to be, right? Trevor Lawrence would be a top pick in any year. Zach Wilson would be a first-round pick based on his abilities coming out of college and people kind of like falling in love with the guy's abilities, right? He'd be a first-round pick. Justin Fields a first-round pick. I don't know if there's any quarterback coming out this year that would go above any of the four guys last year, including Mac Jones. I'm not sure any quarterback in this class would actually have a first-round grade. Quarterbacks are notoriously overdrafted. We know that. They are overdrafted because teams are desperate for quarterbacks. And Chris Collinsworth made the best point yesterday during the Sunday Night Football broadcast on NBC. He said, look at the teams that are in the playoffs already. What do they all have? Well, Cowboys have Prescott. Stafford's with the Rams. Aaron Rodgers is with the Packers. Tampa Bay has Tom Brady. You get the math. You need to have that quarterback to win. I do want to continue the Baker Mayfield discussion. We're going to open the phone lines next hour. I promised all those on hold. 844-204-RICH, 844-204-7424. Should the Cleveland Browns bring back Baker Mayfield, or do they not have a choice? You can also answer that question on Twitter, at Rich Eisen Show. Again, at Rich Eisen Show. We got a couple more hours to go. Plenty of time, by the way. And I'll tell you right now, it's just a case where Cleveland may be between a rock and a hard place. as to what they will do moving forward because they have significantly underachieved as a team. I am Dan Schwartzman. 1 hour in the books right here on The Rich Eisen Show.